Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
And he is Mr. Showbiz. Jeffrey Marcus here on WGN. Hi, Jeffrey.
Happy Easter, and wow, the disco album version. I'm impressed.
Well, there's a reason for that, actually. I'm not sure what it is, but I'll think of one. It's great to talk to you. Happy Easter to you as well. And I chose that, at least chose Ethel Merman, because one of the biographies, showbiz biographies, and you've done many, about Ethel Merman. In fact, my producer told me, Ashley said, you know, for a short time, my dad lived next door to Ethel Merman. Here is what she said. She was not like the type of person that would run down the hallway to grab you and give you a great big hug. She was kind of a tough person. What say you?
I agree, but, you know, we all come from different cultures. Ethel's father was a German immigrant. Her mother was a Scottish immigrant. Her culture was reserved to show that kind of emotion. And Ethel was very, very, almost blinders on her career.
And that's part of the reason, I suppose, as to why she was there was no one like her on Broadway at the time. Having said that, we went to see Sunset Boulevard on Broadway a few months ago and saw Nicole Scherzinger. And I actually thought about Ethel Merman. Nicole Scherzinger is nothing like Ethel Merman. I don't think Ethel Merman ever appeared in any show that was anything like Sunset Boulevard. Having said that, she stopped the show, I think, five times. And literally, I have never been to a production like that, where there's a song in the middle of the show, she sings it, and everyone not only applauds, but raises to their feet. And it wasn't opening night. It wasn't a night that is filled with family and friends and other actors. It was just another night. She was that good. Was Ethel Merman, was seeing her, because I never could have seen her on stage, that was before my time, was seeing someone like her, or Mary Martin, I suppose, like that?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny you mention that. And folks listening, we didn't plan this. Just yesterday, I played Ethel Merman in Hello, Dolly. Someone recorded the entire show from, you know, the beginning all the way through to the curtain calls. And every time Miss Merman opened her mouth, there was a standing ovation. So much so that you almost couldn't hear the last note of any song from the screams of the audience standing on their feet. And Hello, Dolly was the last show she did on Broadway, filling in long after Carol Channing had done it. But yeah, Merman, I don't think she's given enough credit. She was a wonderful comedian. She was a wonderful actress. Gypsy. Gypsy is almost a musical tragedy, not a musical comedy. And lots of wonderful women have played that part, some of whom I know personally, but no one has been as good in it as Merman was. She completely understood how to be funny when it was necessary and how to be almost cryingly tragic. And she sang that wonderful Stephen Sondheim score. That's a lot of talent to do all of that together. Ladies like Merman, who did, 15 Broadway show hits, and Mary Martin, we have folks like that today. We have people like Bernadette Peters, who does show after show after show.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
Audra McDonald comes to town, and she's playing right across the street, actually, from where Nicole Scherzinger in Sunset Boulevard is playing. And it's interesting because they will both be, I'm sure, nominated for Tonys. And they're right. So did Mary Martin really have a feud with Ethel Merman or the other way around?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. They were actually friends. In fact, the later part of their lives, once Mary and Ethel had stopped doing Broadway, they became actually quite close friends, because who else but the other one would understand what it took to do all of those musicals, 8 shows a week, the pressure, the hard work, the lifestyle. Merman called it taking the veil, like, you know, becoming a nun, that one had to cut everything else out of one's life except doing the show. Mm. Mary got ill in the 1960s and had to be hospitalized. And it was an amazing phenomenon that she had very little energy. They were very concerned for her. And then as they approached the 8 o'clock, all of a sudden, her energy rose, even not being a performer in a hospital. Her body was ready to go on at showtime.
What? That's
crazy. That's a very special kind of life.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's like someone who's accustomed to getting up at 5 in the morning every morning, and then you don't have to, but you still get up at 5 in the morning. I remember seeing, I did see Ethel Merman on TV. It was at the later end of her career, and she would still come out singing on talk shows, and everything's coming up roses, and no microphone except the boom mic way up on top. And the same thing, they didn't have the microphones that they have today.
They didn't even have the body mics. I mean, this was already invented, where people wore a body mic hidden somewhere on their person. They hadn't invented those little itty bitty mics that either come around the side of the face or down the forehead so that every word can be heard as if it's into a microphone. They didn't have that. Merman and Martin refused to wear the body mics. Now, Merman wore them when she sang with symphony orchestras, because even Ethel Merman, when you have a 55 or 60 piece orchestra behind you, you need a little help to be heard. But on Broadway, it was them, and there were sometimes microphones at the edge of the stage, the apron. Sometimes there'd be a mic hanging above everybody, like a boom almost. But that's all the help they got. But in the, you know, Merman started in 1930 on Broadway. They didn't even have that. You had to be heard. Merman wasn't as pretty a voice as an opera singer. But basically, Ethel Merman was a musical comedy opera singer. She sang with the same precision and inciseness and the ability to pronounce her words so well that it was said about her, you can't write a bad lyric for Ethel Merman because they'll hear it in the third balcony. So you never have to say, you know, what was she singing? What did she say? No, you heard it.
Well,
she was the best at what she did. You know, you mentioned my other books. All the people I write about them because they are the best at what they do. That's what makes them interesting.
And we'll talk about some of those other books in a moment. The book we're talking about right now is Ethel Merman, the Biggest Star on Broadway. That's the name of the book. A couple of texts here I want to run by you, and then we will talk about Lucy, as in Lucille Ball.
And I want to tell you why there is a short Lucy story about why the name of the Merman book is Ethel Merman, the Biggest Star on Broadway.
So all right, don't tell us.
We transition.
Yeah, don't tell us yet.
Natural transition.
We'll
your question, sir.
We'll tease everyone. But I want to get to some text. So one text says something about wishing Wendy Snyder. And it's good to. I don't sound like Wendy. I love Wendy Snyder. I am not Wendy Snyder, however. Wendy Snyder works here at this radio station, and this person apparently thinks I am Wendy Snyder. Wishing her a happy Easter.
No.
Happy Easter, Wendy. Another one, we mentioned comedy, and a couple of texts actually now have come in saying, what about It's a Mad, 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 Mad World? She was terrific in that.
So here are Ethel Merman and name almost any big-time comedian who was working at that moment, and they were in this film, and she steals every scene she's in.
Yes.
Because she was that good. Ethel Merman, had she chosen to do sitcoms, had she, in the 1950s, done an I Love Lucy kind of show, would have been known as a huge sitcom star. Had she done romantic comedy films, wherever she would have gone, she would have succeeded. She had that much talent. And we're not talking about who she was as a person or what it was like to have dinner with her. Ethel Merman, the performer. Why are we still talking about her, you know, almost 100 years later? I mean, Merman started her Broadway career 95 years ago.
Wow.
And we still care.
I think some people do, but I think what's really the performers of that era, there's one that stands out, and one, they're still making movies about that performer. We'll talk about her when we come back on WGN. Everyone knows that music. At least I think so, Jeffrey Mark. And that's the thing. Yes, you're right about Ethel Merman. I'm sure there are people that still remember her. At least I hope that's the case. She wrote a book about Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, maybe we'll have time to talk about her. I hope so. No musician like her, probably ever. But I bet there are a whole generation of people who don't know necessarily who Ella was. Lucy, people are still fascinated with. Why do you think that is? Hello. There you are.
Desi Arnaz. Because Desi Arnaz and Jess Oppenheimer and Lucille Ball and CBS and Philip Morris Cigarettes were smart enough to put this show on film instead of it being live. And for the last 74 years, we've been watching this show morning, noon, and night. And Lucille Ball is the absolute best at what she did.
Indeed.
It all comes back to that. But here's a nice little segue.
Yes.
So after I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball starred for 6 seasons on The Lucy Show. And she was also the head of Desi Lu Studios. And she produced for Ethel Merman a sitcom pilot that unfortunately didn't sell. To make it up to Ethel, she had Ethel on as a guest on The Lucy Show. And one of the reasons that Lucille Ball and Ethel Merman were such good friends, Lucille Ball was a chorus girl in an Ethel Merman Eddie Cantor musical film in the 1930s. That's how long they'd known each other. And inside the show, Ethel Merman is staying with Lucy and Viv at their house for reasons that don't matter, and Lucy's upset with her. Lucy's upset that Ethel's getting all the attention. And she says, Merman, 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 you'd think she was the biggest star on Broadway. And the audience laughs. And Viv says to her, she is. And that's why I named the book Ethel Merman, the biggest star on Broadway.
Ah,
right, okay. Out of that episode.
And in fact, I'm about to impress you perhaps, didn't Vivian Vance also have a history with Ethel Merman as she played Ethel Merman's understudy at some point in time, I thought.
She was Ethel Merman's understudy in both Anything Goes and Red Hot and Blue, and Ethel considered Vivian, to be a protege, and pushed Vivian's career because she felt that Viv was so talented. So, yeah, there's all these connections between these two ladies. It's an amazing thing that kind of loyalty and friendship in show business can go on, because it had been 30 years since all these people had met when they made 2 episodes of The Lucy Show together like that. It's fun history.
And you have, you've authored the most authoritative Lucy book, I think, and I've read them all. You know I knew her, so I'm still, I'll read anything out there about her. And the book that you wrote, the Lucy book, The Complete Guide, and it is that, to her 5 decades in television, you examine each and every I Love Lucy show. Here's Lucy show. The Lucy show. I mean, all of them. Every single episode. And when she appeared on TV specials, you have those too. And now, you, sir, have an announcement to make.
Yes, I do. There is another book coming out. It is called The Complete Lucy, A Superstar Career in Show Business. So the same kind of book, we're adding even more stories to her television career with new interviews with Carol Burnett and Margaret and lots of folks. But we're also doing all of her radio shows, all of her films, and her Broadway musical Wildcat. So between two very large covers filled with all kinds of wonderful photographs, the complete career of Lucille Ball. And I think those of you out there who love Lucy, and that includes your host and your guest, are going to be thrilled by it.
You've met her. You did meet her, I assume.
Yes. Yeah. I interviewed her.
Yeah. So what was Lucy like?
It's a funny thing. I found her to be funny. Charming, funny. I don't mean she was telling jokes. I found her to be incisive. She knew what she meant. She knew, you know, there was no pussyfooting. This is how she felt. This is how it was. This is what she remembered. And that she did not suffer fools gladly. And that's not a put down. She didn't have patience with people who weren't focused, who weren't there to do their best, or who were full of baloney. Those are the categories she had no patience. And I must say, Miss Merman felt the same way, and so did Ella Fitzgerald. Hmm. It's a traits that all three ladies have in common. If you showed up to work, if you did your best, if you had talent, all three were happy that you were there. But if you showed up drunk or stoned or unprepared or unprofessional or didn't do your best, I'd feel sorry for you with any of the three ladies.
Yeah.
They would slice and dice because they were the star. And whatever project they were working on, they were at the center of it. And if they could shoulder that kind of a burden, you who have a smaller role to play should easily be able to do that. And if you did, they loved you. And if you didn't, watch out.
Do you think part of that comes from the fact that they each, in their own way, had to really claw their way up in showbiz? And did being a woman have something to do with that, or not necessarily?
Absolutely. You cannot, so all the women who are listening, you know what I'm talking about here. Being a woman in a business that was completely dominated by men, there were, you know, 1% who were female writers, female directors, female producers. The only females you saw in show business were performers who were told what to do by men. So yes, just being a female trying to get ahead was very difficult. Ethel didn't have to claw. Ethel was such a unique presence that really, between the time she first tried to be a professional in the middle to late 1920s, to the point where she was a star in Girl Crazy and introduced I Got Rhythm on Broadway, 3 or 4 years. And it was not, there weren't like tremendous setbacks. It was a steady climb from singing at parties to singing in nightclubs to singing in vaudeville to singing on Broadway. Once I Got Rhythm happened for her, she never stopped being a star. Miss Ball and Miss Fitzgerald had to work a lot harder. Miss Fitzgerald, because she was not only a woman, she was an African-American woman. She was not your stereotypical pretty girl. She wasn't a glamour puss particularly. But when she started singing, it was a steady climb, but a constant climb. And it took Ella 20 years to become a superstar, to become a legend. It took her that long, that many steps before, by the middle to late 1950s, wow, Ella Fitzgerald. Miss Ball was a steady, 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 rung after rung climb up, from being a chorus girl in films to little bit parts to having seltzer squirted in her face by Curly from the Three Stooges.
I have a quick story to tell you, and then we have to break for news, but we'll talk to you again sometime. And that was when I was talking to her, I reminded her and I asked her what it was like to work with Mo Howard of the Three Stooges and Larry and Curly. And she said to me, this is true, she said, I never worked with them. I never met them. I said, but you were in, and I had just seen the reel that she was in, right, a Three Stooges short. And she was serious. She truly did not remember. I always will remember talking to you. We'll talk to you again before your next Lucy book comes out. Do you remember the Stylistics group from the 70s?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going. They have
very
a new,
talented.
Yeah, we have a new. They have a new CD, and we'll talk with Arian Love of the Stylistics after the Northwestern Medicine News with Ron Brown, Jeffrey Mark, Mr. Showbiz. Good to talk to you.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well.